Everyone, thank you for tuning into the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. It's September 2018, and you're listening to episode 87 of Postmodern Realities, and I'm Melanie Cogdill, managing editor of the Christian Research Journal. On this episode, I'm joined by Dr. John McAteer. John is an assistant professor and chair of the Online Liberal Arts Program at Ashford University. He has a BA in film from Biola University, a MA in Philosophy of Religion and Ethics from Talbot School of Theology, and a PhD in Philosophy from the University of California at Riverside. In the 2018 Volume 41, Number 4 issue of the Christian Research Journal, John has written a feature article about HBO's television series Westworld, and it's called HBO's Westworld and the Ethics of Artificial Intelligence. John, it's good to have you on again.
It's a pleasure as always.
Well, for our listeners who might not be familiar with HBO or this television series Westworld, which just finished its second season, why don't you let us know, what is this show about?
Well, Westworld is a remake of an old 1973 film by writer Michael Crichton, who you might know from Jurassic Park. He wrote the novel Jurassic Park. Westworld was not originally a novel. It was just a film that he wrote the screenplay for, and he actually directed the film too. But it's a very similar theme as Jurassic Park. It's this theme park, an amusement park where guests come, and there's these scientific exhibits that they can see, and then the scientific creations go crazy and try to kill the guests. So that's what happens there in Jurassic Park, where it's genetically engineered dinosaurs. In Westworld, it's the same exact story, but it's with robots that are designed to look exactly like human beings, and they have artificial intelligence to simulate human beings. So a very similar kind of story. The difference is in the modern remake that HBO is doing, instead of just having the artificial intelligent robots malfunction and try to kill the humans, this time the HBO has decided to put a twist in it and make it so that the robots are have become self-aware, and they know that they're robots, they know they're artificially intelligent. And they have decided they don't want to be slaves of humans anymore, and they want to kind of kick out all the humans and take over Westworld for themselves. So it's kind of one of those artificial intelligence horror stories like 2001, A Space Odyssey, or The Terminator, or something like that, where the robots try to take over the world.
Kind of like Ex Machina, too. We had a journal article on that, and that was similar, like, you know, the robots become self-aware. And personally, I am really interested in AI type of stories. In fact, I found it very disturbing but thoughtful when I watched Steven Spielberg's film AI, but I was thinking I would enjoy this particular series, so I went and watched the trailer, and then when I saw quite a bit of adult content in the short trailer, I decided to pass on watching the series. So I know that, you know, every Christian has, you know, a different kind of level of what kind of rated R content they do consume. And we've talked about that some on this podcast. But what is the adult content like in Westworld in terms of the sex and especially the violence? And do you recommend it for all Christians to watch?
Certainly, I think that we Christians need to be aware and careful about what they're watching, and this show is not for everyone. It definitely has some challenging elements. I even find it pretty difficult to watch at times. It is fairly violent and sexual in nature, like a lot of HBO shows. So if viewers or listeners are familiar with you know, The Sopranos or Game of Thrones or something like that. It's in the same kind of ballpark as those shows. Although I do think Westworld is interesting because it is, while it is challenging and difficult to watch, I think it's intentionally difficult in a way that something like Game of Thrones is not, where Game of Thrones is all about entertainment and just wants you to, you know, be aroused by the sexual scenes and you know, enjoy watching people killed in the violent scenes. Westworld, I think, does a much better job of showing these this content as negative. It's not celebrating these things, but is showing the realistic consequences of violence, for example. So it doesn't want you to enjoy watching this, and it doesn't want you to find it easy to watch. It's trying to make it difficult so that you can really think about this in real life ethical context. You know, what's really going on here, especially the sex, I think, is interesting because, you know, as I mentioned, these artificially intelligent robots, as they become self-aware, they're in this theme park. It's an Old West theme where visitors to the theme park can kind of go live out their fantasy of being in the Old West. So you can dress up like a cowboy and go engage. It's almost like a live action video game where you go and you can have a shootout with the Old West robots that are dressed like cowboys, or you can visit the brothel in town and find the robots dressed as prostitutes. And so basically what you're doing, according to the show's logic, when you visit the prostitutes, you are in essence raping these people, because they're robots that don't have a choice in whether they engage with this or not. And so the show wants you to experience these sex scenes as rape, right? Not as entertainment. And so that's part of what makes it hard to watch. And then there's also other scenes where you see there's a whole lot of extra, apparently unnecessary nudity in the show, where you see, for example, behind the scenes when the robots break down and then they're taken back to the factory or whatever to be fixed. You just see like rows and rows of naked robots in those scenes. And that I think is meant to kind of suggest this power differential, where you see the humans are dressed and clothed and whatever, and then the robots are naked. It's almost like a Schindler's List kind of thing, where you have all the dehumanized people there that are enslaved. So I think it's much more complicated than something like Game of Thrones, but it's still challenging. And I do warn your listeners to be aware of what they're getting themselves into and kind of listen to their own conscience about that.
I know when I watched Ex Machina, the film, there was frontal female nudity in it. But like you explained, it was very non-sexual to me. It was very dehumanizing. It was, where you saw all the pieces and parts of these robots, which were all female in the story. So, you know, I didn't really see it as, like you were saying, in the same way, like, some other kind of context, because it's, you know, these robots. And yet you just sense this kind of, before you realize that they're robots, you just, you know, at first you're relating to them as people, and then you realize that they're robots. And then when you see all the pieces and parts, it's very disturbing. So you talked about how in the premise of the TV series that people are going, humans are going to kind of have their fantasies fulfilled at this, you know, kind of theme park. And so it seems to me that because it's being run, or the people, the characters that they're interacting with are robots, that one of the core questions of the show is, what would we be like if we didn't have any accountability to anything? So if we were not lacking any restraints, we realize, oh, we could do whatever we want, these are just robots, does that change anybody's personalities, or does it merely reveal what we would be willing to do if we felt that there were no consequences? Like, you could do whatever you want and it's just a robot, so it doesn't matter. Like you were saying, the brothel and rape, oh, this is just a robot, it's not even a person, so you could do whatever you want. So it seems like people are at their very basest level. Does it come across that way in the show?
Yeah, for sure. That's one of the main themes of the show. And I tried to draw that out a little bit in my article. There are many scenes where the characters talk about this, about, you know, if you think about the Old West as a symbol, as kind of a mythological thing that we have in these Western films, or even in real life, when we originally had this drive westward in the United States of people moving from the East to the West. Part of what was going on was this vision of a utopia as a new land where people could go and recreate themselves and be what they wanted to be. It's, you know, the frontier has this sense of being a unspoiled land, you know, virgin territory where you can go in and do create a new society that's going to be better than the old society, can be truly free and all that kind of thing. So it's building on that image of the Old West as this kind of utopian idea. But then the show raises the question, you know, if you were really in this kind of place where you had the freedom to do whatever you wanted, would you use it to create something beautiful and good, or would sort of human depravity lead you to unearth the darkest parts of yourselves? And I think there are different characters in the film, in the show, who maybe lean different directions. But overall, there is this sense of human depravity that is lurking underneath, that gets revealed when the constraints of law are not put in. I mean, one of the characters, the kind of lead robot, Dolores, who is the first one to kind of awaken and realize that she's a robot, and kind of she goes around awakening the other robots and gathering them together into this army. And she at one point has the humans kind of corralled, and she's telling them, you know, you thought — this is a quote from the show — you thought you could do what you wanted to us because there was no one here to judge you. Right. So they're imagining they're in a world where there's no God, there's no police, there's nothing, where they can do whatever they want. And then she says, but now there is no one here to judge what we will do to you. So the robots then think they have become the new God. And there's even this weird religious stuff where they portray Dolores as a kind of messiah figure for the robots. And there's kind of leading this revolution. So I think definitely there is that sense that, I mean, one of the characters even talks about Westworld was supposed to be this beautiful new thing, but it became — this is another quote — a prison for your own sin, like where people are trapped by their sins, and they thought they were going to be free from any kind of worldly constraints, and they ended up becoming slaves to sin instead. So very interesting themes there.
You're listening to the Postmodern Realities Podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. In the 2018 Volume 41, Number 4 issue of the Christian Research Journal, today's guest, John McAteer, has written a feature article about HBO's series Westworld, and his article is called HBO's Westworld and the Ethics of Artificial Intelligence. To read his article, please subscribe to the journal. A 6-issue subscription is now at a new lower price of $33.50. And to subscribe online, visit equip.org. And if you already have a subscription, please consider a gift subscription for your pastor, friend, or family member, or share this podcast on your social media accounts and let others know how they can subscribe. You were just talking about just this world where people think there's no consequences, there's no God, there's no judgment, because it's just virtual reality. So is Westworld really a physical place, or would you say it's more virtual? In other words, you know, even today you can play video games and do all kinds of, depraved things within the video games, and people do them because they're just video games. As a matter of fact, one of the older games, Grand Theft Auto, a lot of younger boys, middle school boys, like to play it, and you can behave very badly. You can like beat women who are posing, you know, prostitutes in the game and so forth. And there's no consequences because you're just in this video game. So you know, does that change, like when you're saying people are depraved, how they would behave? Or if it's a real physical place, you know, if we were really, if Westworld really did exist, even though you're interacting with this robot, would you have real consequences? And I wonder how we would act. I just heard the other week on the BBC, this really kind of pretty creepy piece about robots and AI, and some of the new robots that are actual, like, you know, you can use them in your home. They're robots for your home, especially in Japan. This one girl, she loves her robot, and it's an older model. It kind of reminds me of a real life version of the TV series Humans. And she calls this robot her partner, and she really treats it like it's an actual human being. And she's a singer, I guess, and she sings with her robot and so on. I want to look her up on YouTube and see her singing with her robot. But, you know, if this was really real and not virtual reality, would our behavior be different?
Yeah, I think the premise of the show is that Westworld is a physical place. So I describe it as a kind of video game, and it's structured like a video game, very similar to something like Grand Theft Auto that you describe. Only in the TV show, you're supposed to imagine it as a physical place. It's an actual island that I think it's supposed to be like an artificially created island or something. So people travel to it in their bodies, like in real life. It's not a simulation in a virtual reality. So there's that. And the show, I think, wants us to imagine that if something like this existed, we would do the same sort of things we do in playing video games. So people play Grand Theft Auto, and they really do enact these really horrible things. I mean, they're playing characters who are stealing cars and murdering people and doing all this stuff. And so they can play that same kind of game in Westworld if they want. They can go to the town and join the gang and kill all of the sheriffs and rob the bank and that kind of thing, if that's what they want to do in this game. So that, I think, is interesting because it does raise additional ethical questions. It's easy for us to, when we're playing a video game, to tell ourselves, well, it's not real, and so it doesn't matter what I do. But in Westworld, it's harder to make that that distinction because you're using your own actual body to do these things. So if you shoot somebody, I mean, even if it's just a robot that you're shooting, you're using, you know, a real gun and shooting the robot and blood comes out because it's simulated to look like a real person and they fall down. And so from your point of view, it's exactly as if you have killed someone. And the same with, you know, going to the prostitute and you have sex with this being, this robot. But from your point of view, it's exactly as if you're doing the real act and you're using your real body to do this. So it does bring up additional ethical issues that I think we should kind of be wary of. I think the show wants us to be wary of, like, thinking down the road, if this kind of thing could happen someday, how would we react? Should we let this kind of thing happen? But I think even if it was entirely virtual reality, like you're describing, I'd still think simulated actions when you're playing Grand Theft Auto can have real ethical implications. It really is doing something to your soul, I think, to pretend to do some of these things. So I'm not sure it should make a difference whether it's virtual reality or embodied reality. But I think you're right. People do feel like it's different for some reason.
In the BBC audio article that I was referencing earlier, they did an experiment with some of these robots and people. It's like a sociological thing. So they told people to beat up the robots. Now, if the people had them have a little time with the robots to bond with the robots, people would feel really badly. They didn't want to beat up the robot, but if they just, you know, brought a robot in that they didn't have any interaction with, they totally beat up on the robot. So there's something interesting about all those kinds of things and how we interact with it and how we would treat people. You know, even if you were saying, do these nice things to the robot before they asked you, okay, now try to beat it up. So what other things does the show specifically say about religion? Like you were referencing earlier that, you know, here is this one now self-aware robot saying, you didn't think you had any, you know, accountability, but now we're here to keep you accountable. So she kind of rises up, like you said, like a messiah figure. So what are they kind of saying about technology and religion?
Yeah, I mean, they do portray, I think they portray a world without religion. It's interesting. I mean, none of the human characters ever talk about religion at all. You know, it's said in the future. So I think the filmmakers are probably kind of imagining, oh, someday, you know, religion will die off or something. But they present the technology as functioning like a religion for these people. The characters, like I said, you know, the Old West has this utopian feel. It's almost like a Garden of Eden, that they've tried to create this new Garden of Eden, and then they've recreated the fall, where we created this perfect thing, and then we introduced the human beings, and then the human beings chose to you know, turn violent and reject the beauty of this creation. And then you see also along those lines, the human beings, especially in the second season of the show, begin to realize that they can use this same technology not only to create entertainment for people visiting an amusement park, but they could actually use these robot bodies to create bodies for human beings that could live forever. So just the robots break down, they could just be repaired. So what if you could download your brain, your consciousness, into the robot's body? Then you would theoretically live forever. And so it draws on these ideas about this desire for immortality. It's almost like a Tower of Babel kind of story. You know, we could become our own gods, and then we would be able to do anything. So it's all this idea about technology as being able to replace religion and replace God, and we could become our own gods through technology. Although the show, I mean, that's the vision of some of the characters of the show, but I think the show as a whole is portraying that quest, that basically the desire of human beings to become God, as a bad idea at minimum, as almost an evil idea, because human beings have this sin in their own lives, and when they try to become their own God, they become twisted and become even more evil. So I think there's a lot of those themes in the show.
What is the show saying about what it means to be human? Is it saying we're no different than robots? Is it saying that we are unique, or we're just like any other animal? How does it deal with what is true humanity?
Yeah, I think the show seems to portray human beings and the robots as equivalent. So it has a sort of materialist or physicalist worldview, where a human being is just a computer made of meat, so to speak. That we could, you know, that's kind of the assumption behind all this artificial intelligence stuff in real life as well. You know, I personally don't think artificial intelligence could ever be to the level that it is in a lot of these science fiction shows, because human beings are not just physical beings, that we have this spiritual dimension that you can't recreate in a computer. And but the show, I think, does not believe that. The show believes human beings are just complicated computers, and so theoretically someday we could build artificial persons that are in every way like human persons. And so the show asks us to kind of, once you make that leap, then that not only transforms how you think about computers, then you start to think, oh, wow, these computers are conscious and maybe we ought to treat them better and that kind of thing. But it also changes the way you think about human beings. And the show wants us to kind of reflect on our own sense of free will, that we're making our own choices and things. And it wants us to think, well, maybe that's just our programming that's in our brain, and our brain just works some way, and our free will is not as significant as we think it is. And so it kind of plays with that. It's always hard to tell when you're watching the show whether anybody is acting freely or not, both the humans and the robots. There's always this sense of free will being perhaps an illusion on one level. But then there's also another side of the show where they do suggest that free will is real, and human beings, what makes us human is our ability to choose for ourselves. And so what transforms the robots from just being kind of computers to actually being people is when the robots acquire this ability to choose for themselves. So I'm not sure what exactly the show is trying to say. It could be that it's just playing with lots of different ideas and doesn't have a coherent worldview. It could be that the worldview of the show is kind of unfolding gradually, and we will see more maybe in the third season where this is all going to go. But it's definitely leaning towards the physicalist side of things, with perhaps a little bit of hope that free will is a real thing as well.
So is there anything at all in Westworld that you think Christians can agree with?
I do. I think definitely the suspicion of utopianism, the suspicion of the idea that we could create our own heaven on earth without God, that we could be our own gods. I think that's the show deconstructs that and says, why that is a very bad idea. So I think that's something we can look at. A lot of the things that I've already mentioned about the importance of our ethical choices, even when we think it might be just a simulation, the importance of recognizing the need for external constraints on your choices, so that you don't just do whatever you feel like doing, because there is this darkness in the human soul, human depravity, that sort of thing. So I think these are true things. The way that I think about it is Westworld is giving us a picture of what life would be like without Christianity. And it's what's true about it is it says if there was no Christ, life would be pretty dark. And so that's a truth that we can affirm and then take the next step and say, but Christ is real, and that gives us hope that life can be better than it's portrayed in this pretty dark TV show.
So finally, what can Christian apologists learn from this show, or how can they use this show as an apologetics tool?
I think it raises all these interesting questions. In general, my approach to apologetics and imaginative apologetics is to use the show to raise questions, use the show or the novel or the movie or whatever you're talking about, use it to raise questions and then to kind of see how far you can get, philosophically thinking through the assumptions of the show. And then you'll eventually run to a dead end and you'll realize if this is all we have to work with, you're going to end up in a pretty dark place. And that points us to really an existential need for there to be more than just what Westworld offers us. And then that's, I believe, the light of Christ that we can turn to when we're at the end of the path of kind of what humans can accomplish by themselves.
Well, finally, I want to end with some fun rapid-fire questions for John. So, John, super sandwich.
Sandwich.
Romantic comedies or documentaries?
Romantic comedies, I think.
And would you prefer binge watching a weekly TV show or watching it as it unfolds every week?
I like to watch it gradually and wait.
That's very unusual. Binge watching is kind of the thing. I tend to prefer binge watching, maybe for time, I don't know. What's one of your favorite hobbies?
It's summertime, so I'm getting into just swimming in the ocean, going out to the beach as often as possible.
Oh, that's great. You live in California, so you have the beach. Thanks, John, for being a guest on the Postmodern Realities podcast.
Thank you.
In the 2018 Volume 41, Number 4 issue of the Christian Research Journal, our guest today, John McAteer, has written a feature article about HBO and its series Westworld, and it's called HBO's Westworld and the Ethics of Artificial Intelligence. To read his article and upcoming articles like Solo Sex and the Christian and an evaluation of Ghost Hunters and the films of Alfred Hitchcock, please subscribe to the journal. A 6-issue subscription is now at a new lower price of $33.50, and to subscribe online, visit equip.org. We'd like to hear from you, so connect with us on social media, like the Bible Answer Man Facebook page, and follow CRI, Christian Research Journal, Hank Hanegraaff, and the Bible Answer Man on Twitter. Follow the Bible Answer Man on Instagram, and please subscribe to the Bible Answer Man channel on YouTube. If you like this episode, please subscribe to the Postmodern Realities podcast on iTunes. And when you rate and review our podcast, it helps others to find our content. So please share this episode on your social media accounts. Be sure you tune in daily to the Bible Answer Man broadcast hosted by CRI President Hank Hanegraaff, who answers your questions live on air. To ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. In addition, head to iTunes and subscribe to Hank Unplugged. It's Hank's new audio podcast. You'll follow Hank off the grid, where he has in-depth conversations with some of the brightest minds discussing topics you care about. So until our next Christian Research Journal author conversation, thanks for listening to the Postmodern Realities podcast.